I love that song, and I testify to its truthfulness on this day. In that inspiring session this morning, each of us had the privilege of making a covenant with the Lord that we will sustain, uphold, aid, and even defend these great men who have been chosen to lead this church at this time. I suppose if what I say would have a title, that would be, "We Have Made Covenants with the Lord." If we keep those covenants, it will be well with us. Making covenants with his people and with individuals has always been one of the principal ways in which the Lord deals with them. The scriptures tell us that he made covenants with Adam, with Noah, with Enoch, Melchizedek, with Abraham, and others, and that he also made covenants with Israel of old, with the Jaredites, and with the Nephites. Surely the Latter-day Saints are a blessed people because in a similar way, the Lord has made covenants with us individually and collectively. A covenant is a binding, solemn agreement entered into by at least two individuals. It requires that all parties involved abide the conditions of the compact in order to make it effective and binding. Most people do not realize that sacred covenants made earlier with earlier prophets and peoples have been restored to earth by a new covenant. The Lord made clear the reason for establishing a new covenant, for he said, "They have strayed from mine ordinances and have broken mine everlasting covenant. Wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamities which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., and spake unto him from the heaven, and gave him commandments." As a result of that revelation, the prophet Joseph became the instrument in the hands of the Lord in restoring the new and everlasting covenant, which is actually the fullness of the gospel and embraces within its powers and terms, conditions, every covenant and commandment that our Father has ever made to man on earth. It provides the way to eternal life and even to exaltation to all who accept the gospel and who endure to the end in living its principles and ordinances. For he said again in a revelation, "Even so I have sent mine everlasting covenant into the world to be a light unto the world and to be a standard for my people and for the Gentiles to seek to it, and to be a messenger before my face to prepare the way before me." It is here, in its fullness, with all its powers, as a guide, a standard for us and for all men who will heed it. The love of God is extended to all mankind. For he has said, "O ye inhabitants of the earth, I, the Lord, am willing to make these things known unto all flesh, for I am no respecter of persons." Because of this, we send missionaries by the thousands into all the world where it is permissible to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to baptize those who believe. Now some may wonder why the Lord gives commandments and requires us to make covenants with him. Or, as one person asked, if the Lord loves us, why does he give us commandments? If he loves us, why does he say, "Thou shalt not," or "Thou shalt"? A simple answer to these questions, seems to me, is he commands us because he loves us. He knows perfectly well what will bring peace and success to us in our individual lives and in the world, and what will bring the opposite. Just as any father would direct or even restrict his children, if it would be a blessing to those children, so our Father in heaven gives us commandments, laws, and covenants, not for the sole purpose of restricting us or burdening us, but rather that we may, through obedience to correct principles, find peace and success. Actually, we do not have to do what the Lord commands us, for we have our free agency. But we cannot obtain the rewards and the blessings he has promised unless we do. For all who will have a blessing at my hands, he says, shall abide the law which was appointed for that blessing, and the conditions thereof, as were instituted from before the foundation of the world. It's an immutable law and principle. Every member of the church has made covenants with the Lord. These commandments and covenants are not grievous. They are not burdensome. They are enlightening, uplifting, assuring, and helpful. They are instruments of voluntary action on our part, which help us to concentrate our efforts to accomplish the purpose in life and to reach our ultimate goal. Our first covenant is entered into when we are baptized and confirmed members of the church. The conditions under which one becomes a candidate for baptism and the obligations of membership after baptism should be understood and impressed upon all people, both young and old. The Lord has made these requirements and expectations very definite in these enlightening words: all those who humble themselves before God and desire to be baptized and come forth with broken hearts and contrite spirits and witness before the church that they have truly repented of all their sins and are willing to take upon them the name of Jesus Christ, having a determination to serve him till the end, and truly manifest by their works that they have received of the Spirit of Christ unto the remission of their sins, shall be received by baptism into his church. So, as one prepares himself for baptism, he must recognize that there are specific obligations and covenants associated with receiving of this sacred ordinance. When we partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we enter into a solemn covenant of obedience that we will keep his commandments. And we witness unto the Lord that we will take upon us his name and always remember him and keep the commandments which he has given us. Partaking of the sacrament should be done in sober solemnity. Again, when we agree to have the priesthood conferred upon us, we thereby covenant with the Lord that we will honor it through righteous, decent living and magnify the office given us in that priesthood in service to others, always extending to all men kindness, consideration, courtesy, and love. Now, if we keep the covenant of baptism and honor the priesthood and its covenants, and in other ways live in conformity with the principles of the gospel, we may then have the great privilege of entering a holy temple where we may receive the higher ordinances of the priesthood and in due time enter into that order of the priesthood which is known as the new and everlasting covenant of marriage. With this obedience, with this ordinance, the principle is given that if we remain, the promise is given that if we remain faithful and true to the end, to the covenants made, we shall come forth with the just in the morning of the first resurrection, and with our companions, our children, our posterity, be permitted to live in a state of never-ending happiness, provided, of course, that they too keep the covenants which it will be necessary for them to make. My, what hope, what comfort, what assurance, and joy this promise should bring to the hearts of those who love their families. Surely it is true that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And of course, he has said that they who love him will keep his commandments and covenants. President Joseph F. Smith reminded us of this when, in these words, we cannot slight, we cannot neglect, nor depart from the spirit, the meaning, or the intent, and the purpose of these covenants that we have entered into with our Father in heaven without shearing or depriving ourselves of the glory, the strength, the right, the title of his blessings, and to the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. For surely God will not be mocked. Let me repeat, each one of us has made covenants with the Lord and have agreed before God in sacred places that we will observe his laws, which after all are but principles by which we must learn to live in order to qualify ourselves and those about us for the greatest of all the gifts of God, which he says is eternal life, or life in the family kingdom. I testify to you, brothers and sisters, that I know that God lives and that he has, because of his love for us, condescended to make covenants with us in order that we may be spared from failure, from sorrow, from regret, and that we may rise to the full heights of glory that are promised to those who are faithful and endure to the end. My brothers and sisters, we are a covenant-making people. Let us also be a covenant-keeping people. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.